First up, since Jason was looking forward to bringing you a review of Martin Scorsese's new film this week, a 3.5-hour mob epic called The Irishman, we thought we'd dig into the archives and replay you Jason's interview with the man himself from 2017 about his film Silence, a period drama about Portuguese Jesuit priests and Christian martyrs in 17th century Japan. The veteran American director says it was his most difficult shoot to date and reflects a lifelong obsession with Catholicism. So let's hear it. Jason DeRosso with Martin Scorsese.
Well, Martin Scorsese, Catholicism, of course, has been present in your films throughout your career. I'm wondering what this story's particular angle on Catholicism and notions of faith had that fascinated you. I mean, what was it that this film, this story was allowing you to say or explore that you felt perhaps you hadn't explored before?
Well, I think having when I finished reading the book in 1989, I had just finished Last Temptation of Christ, and the reaction to that film was rather strong. I finished shooting Goodfellas, and I was in Japan, and I finished reading the book, and I knew immediately that I wanted to make it into a film. And I think my instinct was because elements that I was searching for in Last Temptation and Mean Streets and Raging Bull and all these other movies, Taxi Driver, seemed to be crystallized or synthesized into this one story, really. It has to do with really the essence of faith, the struggle for faith to understand what it is, or maybe not understand what it is, but just have it. And that's something that is very important in my life. It just happens to be. I'm not trying to convert anyone or change anybody's minds. I just feel that for me, this has been something from when I can first remember to 6 or 7 years old or 8 years old, searching for a way to come to terms with that part of the human being or the human condition that is spiritual, especially in the material world. Simple as that. I explored it in a lot of my movies, Mean Streets even, and certainly Raging Bull, and even the documentary I made on George Harrison called Living in the Material World. And without having made that, I don't think I could have really formed how to visualize and interpret the book of Silence.
Well, this is interesting, this idea of needing to adapt this book and it taking almost 30 years to finally begin shooting. When you finally then came to shoot the film in Taiwan, were you surprised as it began to take a life of its own? I mean, was there an element of improvisation on set where you thought, wow, this is going in a new direction?
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of it had to do with landscape and the rhythm of the life of being in Asia. It really was very surprising in a way. You see, over the years, until I was able to get the script together with Jay Cox and the very, very end of 2006, in December of 2006, over the years, I think a lot of clutter was in my mind in terms of visuals and aspects of the story, because if you read the novel, there are many different ways you could go. It was a matter of clearing away this clutter in my mind. It's almost a funny way of thinking about it, but the clutter of style, the clutter of cinema, of making movies. Just get to the essence, and if you deal from the essence out into the, how should I put it, to the actor inside the frame of the landscape, and just go back to that basic, clear away everything else, and work from there. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Whether it's successful or not, I can't say. I'm just saying that's part of the process. I could not have done that back in 2009 or 2010, when I actually thought we were going to make the film.
So were you in some way forced to think this way, to sort of pare this idea down by also logistical necessity? I've heard one of your producers speak on this film, and Emma Koskov, who's been with you, I think, since The Aviator, and she talks about it being a bit of a logistical nightmare, this film. I mean, unprecedented in terms of your career. Was there something about that sort of intensity?
Yes, but I didn't think of it that way. The more they said it was impossible to do, the more I found ways to do it. And in other words, again, the clutter of big production too. How much equipment do you really need? How much do you have to show of a certain scene? Keep the editing in mind. overshooting a scene and then dealing with it later in the cutting room. How much do I really want to show? Maybe if I'd had shot the film at a different time, I would have shot more of one scene than another. But here, you know, once you sign on to do a film and these are the conditions that you accept, then you work, you make the film within those conditions.
There's a beautiful sort of ghostliness to the landscapes and the mists and, you know, the oceans that you see and the outcrops and so forth. I'm wondering how the landscapes sort of influence you. Is there something more specific you can reveal about just how it influenced your thinking about color palette and about general tone?
Well, I was not expecting the color palette to be what it became. I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect the green, the lushness. And I certainly didn't expect the mist. But I must tell you that the mist, except for the night scenes on the boat at night, there's no CGI. That's real. And minute by minute or every 30 seconds, it would change. And so I'm an urban person, and I'm known for films that take place in cities, particularly New York or, you know. And so for me, this was a great experience. And so I took advantage of that. The landscape itself dictated very often the visual approach to a scene that I had planned in the hotel room in a different way. And it was a constant issue of juggling possibilities and taking advantage. For example, when the samurai enter the village for the first time, they come through a mist. You don't see or hear anything for a moment. Well, that's what happened on set. I said, where's what happened to our video? They said the mist came in. I said, where are the actors? They said they're there.
Wow, so it was changing that quickly.
It was changing that quickly. Wow. I said, start shooting. I said, no, rehearsing. I said, doesn't matter, just start shooting. But that's what I mean about taking advantage of it and saying, even if we run the footage and we don't use it, I said, let's see what it looks like when they come through this mist.
The story puts the modern viewer in a complicated position in a way, because the film asks you to empathize with the priests, especially Rodriguez, Andrew Garfield's character, and his unswerving belief. But by the same token, you know, you could view these priests as sort of agents of colonialism and so forth.
Absolutely.
We live in an age of relativism and so forth. What?
Yes, exactly.
Was this a tension that attracted you also to?
I think so, because I think the concept was to get past that and get to the essence of what they supposedly believed. And we see Rodriguez break down to that essence, and the Japanese in their culture and in their defense of their own world and who they are break this down. They see it as arrogance. They see, from what I understand, the period, what I've read over the years and all the experts, they saw it as missionaries who came to Japan with something very special, very good news, a gospel, you know, something that can be called the truth with quotation marks on it. However, and this was reiterated, actually this was talked about in Rome, an Asian Jesuit was pointing this out. So, however, the Asian culture may have perceived this Western truth as an arrogance. And therefore, what they had to do is break that arrogance down, particularly because it meant the undoing of their entire culture and who they are, government, land, everything. And so it's interesting to think you're with Rodriguez, but then to watch him learn. And maybe we learn from what he learns, which is the real essence of the true Christianity. Also, the Jesuits in Rome, the Asians, pointed out that no matter what, unfortunately, Christianity is somehow still tied, still carries that that stigma of colonialism. And the wound, as they pointed out in Rome to me, that the wound is still open. I'm trying to get to the point of what was good about the Christianity.
Yeah, which is interesting because, of course, it's played a significant role in your life. But, I mean, obviously, yeah, you've made so many films about that ask us to empathize with very flawed characters who believe unswervingly in what they're doing and yet end up hitting walls.
Well, do we have to empathize with Rodriguez? It's almost like a, how should I put it, like a maze. I'm taking you through a maze in a way, and you think you're going one way, but it becomes something else. You see, you think you're going Rodriguez's way, but by the time Rodriguez has to make his choice and how he winds up at the end of the story, it becomes another part of a different kind of journey. So it's kind of a ruse in a way that takes you in a certain. I'm not asking you to really empathize with these people who are, as I say, may have been the best of intentions, but may have caused some damage. So what is basically making the film to deal with the value of what they had, and the value that could be universal for all of us.
And the value, I guess, of this faith that you've spoken about before, that God is not a torturer. This idea, ultimately, in your film about that. Yeah. That's the line, of course, from Bresson's Diary of a Country Peace.
Bresson Bernanos book. Yeah, exactly. That opened my eyes when I saw that film back in the early 60s. And that's something that stayed with me a long time. He says, God is not a torturer. He just wants us to be merciful with ourselves, interesting with ourselves. And so you had that in Raging Bull, where by the end of the story, he's sitting in front of a mirror and he's talking to himself in the lines from On the Waterfront, saying, it was you, Charlie. And he seems to be comfortable with himself for the first time in the story. And as I always say, when I made the movie, that's where I wanted to go. But after making the film, I hadn't reached that. I don't know if I'm there myself right now, but I do think that's one of the reasons that film, how should I put it? I didn't know I was saying that. I couldn't articulate it, but that's one of the reasons why there was sort of a crazed passion to make that particular film that way, Raging Bull, to get to that point. And so if he could forgive himself, he would be less punishing on himself and therefore the people around him.
Yeah. I see an element of that philosophy in this film.
Well, I think that's what kept me on the track to make this film, because so many things came in the way that we could have dropped it so many times. But for some reason, I was still excited to think about realizing the film, making it real, you know.
Jason DeRosso talking to Martin Scorsese about his 2017 film, Silence. And rest assured, you'll hear all about Scorsese's latest film, The Irishman, when Jason is back in the chair next week.